It's Thursday, July 10th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 70. You're in the anime army now. Runtime for this episode is 49 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that is produced for under $600. My name is Jeremy.
I have extra costumes. I'm Tyler.
I'm cursed and my name is Zach.
It's a terrible night.
It was a pod, but it is a terrible night to have a curse.
It would be. It's such a nice night. It really sucked to be cursed on a night like this.
It would.
Yeah.
Especially if your curse was to not be able to go out during the summer. Oh, man, could you imagine being a vampire during the summer? Man, that would suck.
You just moved to the south, right? By the south, I don't mean South America. I mean,
yeah,
like south of the equator, where it's winter.
Yeah. So, like, Australia?
Yeah.
Or just live in, like,
or
Alaska,
Brazil.
Hibernate for the summer, and then come out for the entire winter?
Yeah.
You know, you can have a vacation.
They made a movie about that, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
It was bad.
Based off a comic book.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Lots of movies these days are based off comic books. Lots of people are making comic books as movie pitches.
Oh. You know, that's actually a really good idea. It hadn't even occurred to me to try that.
I mean, you already have the pre-baked storyboards.
Yeah.
That
although
is true.
Usually they get radically changed. Like, Wanted the comic versus Wanted the movie, they both have characters in them.
Exactly.
And they have guns. There are guns in them.
Yeah, there aren't that many guns in the Wanted comic. There are definitely guns, but not nearly as many. There are no curved bullets or Angelina Jolies.
Kick-Ass was actually pretty similar between the comic and the movie.
Yeah, except the movie had the sense not to have the climax be giving the little girl cocaine so she can kill a bunch of mobsters. The movie is way, way better than the comic because it has a jetpack with miniguns instead of giving a 10-year-old girl cocaine.
No, I think the comic is better. That's how I solve all of my problems. Oh, man. So, I saw a scene from Scott Pilgrim recently where Ramona's like leaning on Scott's shoulder while they're on a park bench or something. He's just like, I think you're the nicest guy I've ever dated. And he just like looks at her and is like, that's really sad, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we've learned tonight is do not let Tyler watch your kids.
Well, I mean, if the choice is jetpack with miniguns or give your kids cocaine, I'm going to go with give your kids cocaine. It's less dangerous.
Yeah, but if the goal is defeat a mobster.
I'm going to give your kid cocaine. It's less dangerous for me.
Also, the movie had Nicolas Cage playing Adam West.
And there was nothing wrong with that.
No, it's a clear advantage over the comic. Although the movie had that really awkward first-person shooter scene.
Anyway, this isn't the podcast about comic books, so I was about to call it a codcast. Is that just like a fisherman's podcast?
Yeah. Or a podcast that talks a lot more about that first-person shooter segment than we do.
I see what you did there.
That's because I'm awesome. Speaking of awesome, although this doesn't apply to you in listener land, the Steam sale is still going on.
Oh yeah, it'll definitely be over by the time this posts, but that's okay. We bought games,
we
people.
Did. So Zach, what have you bought and what have you been playing?
Well, the first thing I bought was I bought a digital copy of Space Hulk, the board game.
You didn't buy a physical copy on Steam?
No, I didn't.
I was going to buy that for you, actually, but...
Yeah, that's the game I bought for $10, and then it went on flash sale for $2.75.
Yeah, I was going to buy it when it was
$2.75. This is the problem with living in the first world. Your friends just buy the stuff they want, so you can't buy them gifts.
And then I also bought Warhammer Dawn of War 2, which I've also been playing a lot of.
Yeah, I saw you were playing that yesterday.
I really am enjoying that game. I played a little bit of Hydro Thunder on Saturday, because I needed a game I could go through quickly while I was waiting for 11:30 to roll around. I've also been playing a lot of League. This week had a weird champion free, so I've been playing a lot of Rumble.
Rumble's fun.
Yeah. He has a heat management. It makes me feel like I'm playing Battletech.
He's the one who has the Garen Logan skin.
Okay, gotcha. I remember him. Oh, but he pilots a mech, which is why he has a heat management.
Yeah, his like resource management is heat, and it's like, yes, I'm playing Battletech in League of Legends.
Woo.
Yeah, woohoo!
Zach is putting up his fists in goal formation for those of you who
can't
see him, which is all of you.
Oh, yeah, speaking of which, the World Cup thing.
Oh, yeah, we made it through the group of death.
Yeah, even though we lost to Germany, we somehow advance.
It actually does make sense.
I don't watch soccer and don't care.
If you're familiar with group play.
Okay, well, I'm not, and this game makes no sense to
me.
We
beat the people who beat them, and so we're in a tie, but the people... We had a better goal differential against Germany than the other team. We only lost by one, so we advance.
That matters?
Yeah, apparently. In a tiebreaker scenario.
Okay.
Which we were in. That is what they go to first.
Gotcha.
And I don't know what they go to after that, because I'm not a football fan.
Fair enough.
Of either flavor.
No, I'm calling American football gridiron from now on until everyone just agrees with me.
I think this is an excellent idea. I agree.
I actually have to agree with him. I got to give him a fist bump real quick. All right.
I just wish we could call other sports cool names, like basketball was flame hoops or something. Flame nets.
Basketball doesn't deserve a cool name.
Anyway.
So I've been playing a lot of those games. Mostly, though, I've been playing the campaign for Dawn of War 2, even though it made me install Windows Live, which is apparently still a thing. See, I'm not actually opposed to Windows Live because, you know, if I had people I was going to talk to on, like, Xbox Live, I could do so. But it's kind of going away. Which unfortunately means I can't get the Steam achievements because it's not completely linked into the Steam system yet. It's the Windows Live thing, I think.
Do you like Steam achievements? I'm just curious.
I like achievements.
Like, they just don't feel as good as 360 achievements to me, and I don't know why.
I think it's the noise they make.
I think it is totally that. You get that sound saying bleep bloop, which my brother has as his text tone, and I think is wrong, because you don't achieve anything when you get a text message.
You achieved relationship.
Maybe that's an achievement in Catherine, but only the first time. Anyway, continue.
One of the reasons I really like this game is it's one of the few games I've found that, at least with the respect of the campaign, it is more of a tactical thing. It's a top-down RTS, for those of you who haven't played it. But in the campaign, I haven't played the multiplayer, I haven't played the custom game or anything like that yet. You don't build units or anything. You are given, like, I have 5 squads, and I think that's the most you get. You get the commander, a devastator squad, a assault squad, a tactical squad, a scout squad, and a dreadnought.
StarCraft has levels like that, but for the most part, it's not that sort of game.
Yeah, this is actually full on that. You don't manage, you know, building units so much as you just manage these squads, you know, putting them into cover, using them in the right way to achieve an optimal goal. You can get, like, relays and stuff on maps, which will automatically replenish your squads if anybody in them is dead. But if the squad leader goes down, you have to revive him with either having somebody go over to him and, you know, get him up, or using a ability that your commander has that can heal everybody for a little bit, which will automatically get him up. But it plays very RPG-ish, because your guys get experience and, you know, ability points to put into stuff, and you find equipment that does different things.
Okay.
Like, my commander has a power fist and a bolt pistol right now. the game is set up in a very interesting manner, because, you know, StarCraft, they have the open-ended campaign-ish thing, which is kind of annoying. Because none of the missions really preclude doing any of the other missions, except for when you go to Char.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there are, like, 2 choices you make that are legitimate choices in that campaign, but for the most part, you're right. I feel like there's one point where you can save some colonists or kill some colonists,
yeah,
and you can't go back and do the other. And I feel like there is one point where you have to choose between saving 2 different planets.
But
for the most part, you're right.
It's not saving 2 different planets. One is the kill all the colonists for the Protoss, or save all the colonists from the Protoss. And then the other one is, when you're on Char, it's destroy the air power of the Zerg, or destroy the Nidusworms for the Zerg.
I feel like with the colonists, shouldn't there be an option that is ignore the colonists entirely?
But they're infested with Zerg, and you saved them originally. So it's kind of like, I want to finish what I started, or, yeah, the Protoss are totes right. We need to help. We need to get rid of these guys.
Or
and
you could say,
also have one of their colonists on board your ship as their science officer at the time.
Oh, well. You could also just say, leave the galaxy. Go somewhere else where there aren't Zerg.
No, the Zerg are expanding. Oh. It's a problem. Although, the beginning of StarCraft 2 is, yeah, the Zerg are just sort of in remission. That's weird. We should totes ignore them, right?
Yeah.
Seems legit.
There's a lot wrong with that story, but I don't want to go into that right now. But in this one, like, there is a timer for certain missions. You're trying to stop a Tyranid invasion of your sector. And, like, some missions will go away after a couple of days if they aren't dealt with.
Okay.
And you can lose, like, external game resources from doing that. So okay. There's actually somewhat of a give and take when you pick to do a mission or not.
That's actually kind of neat.
It has a very interesting and fluid mechanic. I really like it. The boss fights are a little difficult, but I understand why. Yeah, there are boss fights in that game.
Huh. Are they against whatever Ultralisks are? I can't remember.
Carnifex.
Yeah,
no,
I remember.
I haven't fought a boss Carnifex yet, but I almost guarantee there's going to be one.
Giant enemy Carnifex appears.
But, like, they are really freaking big. But, like, the first one that popped up, I was just walking through a jungle with my squads. I'm like, all right, time to deal with some Zerg. Time to deal with some Tyranid.
So not Zerg.
Yeah, nice. Not Zerg. Totes not Zerg. And a big thing came lumbering out of the jungle. I'm like, oh, that's a Carnifex. Everybody run away. Get back to the Devastators with the rocket launcher.
To head off all the 40K fans, yes, we know 40K came first.
But yeah, you know which one's more popular?
Yes, I do.
Exactly.
But it's a lot of fun. I also like I said, I've been playing a lot of the Space Hulk game, which I really enjoy, because I bought the board game when it came out, and this plays exactly like the board game, and I really enjoy it. Cause,
so how does it work? Can you have, like, a computer control a second person for you, or?
The computer is playing the Gene Stealers against my Space Marines.
So do you control the entire squad by yourself then?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually how it's supposed to go. The one time we played it was kind of a little bending.
So we could have three players.
Hacking it so that we would have three, yeah.
Okay.
The game is designed for two players, and two players only.
Or one player. That just says 1-2 on the package.
Yeah, and then occurred to me, I have four games now that are board games, or card games, if you will, that are also digital.
You have Uno?
I don't have Uno.
You have Catan, I know.
I've got Catan, Carcassonne, Dominion, and Space Hulk.
You don't have Dominion, technically. Technically, that's a knockoff of Dominion that got issued a cease and desist order. Also, you have Carcassonne?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I have Carcassonne sitting in the closet.
I know you do.
Right there.
Never played it. Always kind of wanted to.
It was a free download at one point on Xbox Live.
Okay.
So I just pulled it down, and it's a lot of fun for just a quick time kill. But the last game I got was a game I haven't installed yet. Or it wasn't the last game I got, but I got Sins of a Solar Empire.
Ah.
That was the game you had that you had and I had picked up.
We should play that with Ed sometime and, like, conquer the enemy computers.
I do want to try that at one point. I want to play with you. I haven't downloaded it yet. I've only downloaded, like, Age of Mythology, which I picked up, too. I haven't pulled down the Fallout games yet, either.
It's a fun game, but it continues to illustrate how bad I am at RTSs. So
we already know that.
I mean, that's
easy.
I was thinking I was going to be good at some RTS eventually, but no.
You might be decent at the Dawn of War 2 game, just because of the fact that it is more RPG than it is...
I'm actually not familiar with that series.
Dawn of War?
All. Yeah.
It's a 40K.
It's 40K RTS.
Oh, it's the one you were just talking about.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Anyway.
The one I'm talking about, obviously, is number 2. But like I said, it's more tactical / RPG than it is RTS, at least in the campaign.
Which might be more my thing, but...
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you would guaranteed enjoy it. But if it goes on real sale, I bought it half off for like $10. But if it goes on real sale, like $5 or something, you might pick it up.
Hey, because half off isn't on sale enough, damn it.
Well, for you, for someone
my
who doesn't
my sense of entitlement is too great for 50%.
For someone who doesn't necessarily like guaranteed know they already enjoy this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I was willing to pay $10 off because I'll probably enjoy it.
That's why I keep not buying Pixel Piracy when it goes on sale.
I forgot. I also got and played some Game Dev Tycoon.
Oh.
Yeah, I did too. Let's discuss Game Dev Tycoon.
I'm not as far as Jeremy. I'm not as
I've
good at it,
I've beaten
it
twice. So no, you're not as far
no,
as me.
I am
but
not.
I want to know what your opinions on it are and what I can spoil and what I shouldn't.
It's a little on the simple side, I think. I think it would benefit from being a little more complicated but also having a little bit more, mainly because it needs, I think, a little bit more going on to keep my attention for a long period of time.
Yeah, I can see that. What do you mean by more complicated? What do you think it should have?
What does it have?
Yeah,
because I don't actually
perhaps
know
we should start with this. Game Dev Tycoon is a game where you start your own video game company and attempt to make video games. You start in your garage in 1983. It doesn't actually give you the year. It starts with year zero and counts up. But the computer and the Commodore 64 are the only things on the market.
Okay.
I actually think it's the Commodore 64 or something because they have really light filing off of the copyrights to everything.
Yeah, it's like the VET. It's like the Sony VES or something like base station or.
It's the Play System.
Play System.
It's the Vony Play System. And then Invento TESS and Super TESS and Invento 64 and the GameSphere.
I'm still on 64. Okay. I think the PlayStation 2 was just announced.
Okay.
Sorry.
So anyway, when you make a game, you choose a topic. You start with four. I think they're random topics, and you can research new ones. Then you pick a genre. There are five that you start with, and you can unlock casual through research, which is the sixth. And then you choose the system, and you have it basically gives you three different points where you have to adjust sliders. The first one is like between level design, engine, and story or something like that, and you have to decide which you focus on most and in what proportion.
Definitely story for a casual game, all the way.
And then it gives you that selection of choices three times, and all the different things. Last is sound, graphics, and world design.
Okay.
And I can't remember what's in the middle. And then you create a game, and based on where you allocated things and the matchup of the topic and the genre, you get review scores and then sell stuff. And then later you can hire employees and You unlock the ability to focus on young, mature, or everyone. And more systems come out, and they have different market shares, get larger and larger games, and then you have to assign employees to specific areas.
That's actually kind of neat.
Yeah. It's got a kind of basic research tree at first. I don't know. I don't want to spoil things for Zach. There are a lot of systems that I found dissatisfying the first time through that I found better the second time. But the second time through, I basically mastered the game.
Well, like, things that I would rather have is, instead of having to just pay for research and stuff like that, have a separate system. But that's because I'm coming from the side of, like, the movies, which is basically movie theater or Movie Maker Tycoon and Roller Coaster Tycoon, where you have that research going on behind the scenes while you're doing other things. But this is,
you
like,
actually do get that later, but not until you get to the last building. The way research works, I actually don't really like. You get research points, which you can use to train your employees or to research new features for games. And features is a different thing in addition to the sliders that you can add on.
And I'd rather see, like, ability to specialize people a bit more. I mean,
you get that later, too. It sounds like what you want is the end game of this game.
Well, it feels like it should be earlier on, too. But it isn't that I don't like the game. It's just, when I play it, there's not enough going on at any one time to hold my attention for an extended period.
I kind of agree, and it goes fast enough that you kind of have to pay attention to it, too. It's sort of in this weird area where you can't just leave it running, but there's a lot of time where your guys are just programming and making bubbles that go into your game.
Which I know that is what, you know, it probably looks like at a company that does real work, so... But why would you want to simulate that? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the problem. There needs to be something else available for you to interact with, because a lot of the game is taken up by watching a guy go click, 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 click on his keyboard.
I wish there was a speed adjuster, is actually what I want, that I could just go to, like, 10x speed when we were just working, and then just deal with the events.
I would like to see a bit more events that are like, this is going to come up, but no, all the events are like, hey, would you like to pay us to sabotage them or something? It's like, I don't have enough money to almost get this game out. I don't want to pay anybody any more money than I have to.
Yeah, the
competitor just released an identical game.
The events are basically, you get a magazine interview, or hey, G3 is coming up. Would you like a booth?
That you have to pay for.
No, you don't. If you click the X in the top right, you get a booth. It's almost always worth it if you're making a game, because you get a huge hype boost. There's also marketing that goes into it, that you have to pay for your own marketing. And you can get, like, publishing deals. Later on, you can make MMOs and expansions. But the game doesn't really get complicated until the last third. And it is a little rote, but I liked it enough to play it through 2 times.
So clearly
I'm only missing one achievement.
Which is, out of curiosity?
Still 100 million copies of a game.
Wow.
The highest I've gotten was 32 million. But
now, has any game ever sold that much in actual history?
I don't know. GTA 4, or GTA 5, rather, made $1 billion in sales its first weekend. But I don't know what that is in units.
One of the Call of Duties might have.
Actually, Call of Duty doesn't do very well on a per-installment basis anymore. It makes a lot of money by having each game in the series sells okay.
No, I said one of them. I think, I wouldn't be surprised if Call of Duty 4-2 almost hit that number, because that was before it started going downhill.
Just consider for a moment that the population of the U.S. is 323 million-ish. That's one-third of people in the U.S. bought that game. That's a lot of people, and I don't think that many people play console games.
Yeah. League of Legends has that many players,
but
you don't buy
copies.
That game.
Yeah, I guess at peak subscribers, World of Warcraft was like 10 million. I think the way to get that achievement is to just keep playing after the game ends, though. And one of the things you can research is your own convention, which gives you a bunch of fans, so I think you just need to keep building your fans. And then occasionally there will be market trends. And you can hype your games in magazines occasionally. I think if you get a game that's a market trend that you hype with around 10 million fans, you would be able to get that. But I'm at 2.7, and I can get like 0.2 million fans a year, assuming everything goes right. I also, it doesn't let you experiment with genre and topic very much, because there's a modifier for each genre and topic that's like a transport action game is terrible. So you can't really make those. Part of the game is learning what combinations are good, but if you know video games, you pretty much know. And also the way market share works, if you know the history of video game consoles, you pretty much know.
With the
exception at the very end, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Next come out. Nintendo doesn't have... Nintendo doesn't make a console after the Wii U. So I don't know what's up with that. And you can also invent basically Steam, and that will give the PC a market share boost when you do that. But other than that, there's not much variation on that each time you go through.
It's basically actual history.
Yeah. Except for you can invent your own console, and that will throw things off. And they have really, really naive politics in that game.
Oh?
It's always best to adhere on the side of your fans, no matter what.
Because that's always worked for
and
people.
Install solar power, and not sabotage people. Like, everything that you would consider to be, in generic air quotes, good, is the right decision to make.
Huh.
And I don't know how I feel about that. Also, the PlaySystem 5 and the Mbox Next are basically just, hey, they take all the advice that fans said was bad about the Mbox One and the PlaySystem 4 and fixed it. And it's like, that's a little naive, too.
That's really generic as well.
It doesn't say that. It's like they took off their stupid camera that's always on and gave it a decent name. And yeah, the politics are just super naive.
But on the other hand, they also have to make it playable. So,
well, yeah, I just wish there was more trade-off. Like, you always lose if you sue your fans for pirating your games. Like, I shouldn't say lose. It's not like you automatically get a game over, but that always hurts you. And just sending them a strongly worded letter gains you fans.
I was so hard up for Pete for fans and all that. Every time one of those came up, I'm like, just ask him to stop. I can't afford to lose the five guys who are still my fans after that disaster of the last game I released.
This is completely random. What was that, the name of that game that you're playing where you like inherit your...
That's what I was going to talk about next. Crusader Kings?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I now remember the name. So
I've also been playing more Crusader Kings too. I'm going to play, I think, one heir a week for a while. My character died, his son immediately died, and stuff got left to his grandson, who became best king ever for me. He took over Ireland and is now king of Ireland. Actually, he just died because I played through his life.
What was this guy, like 10 when he came up?
No, he was 8 when he inherited.
And then immediately turned around and conquered Ireland.
That took some time. He had to be raised, he had to be old enough to take the throne, he had to fabricate some claims.
Who was regent while he was...
His mother, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember.
How'd his father die? Dysentery?
No, under mysterious circumstances.
Ah, so the kid killed off
suspicious,
his dad.
Not mysterious, suspicious circumstances. So I became king of Ireland. I think I'm going to try to take Scotland next. Being an island is kind of awkward, but naval travel isn't too bad in that game.
Well, that and if you have the entire island, that makes it easier.
Yeah. So I also decided to boot up the Game of Thrones mod and do a playthrough like that, too. I'm playing right after Robert's Rebellion as Eddard Stark. So
that sounds like the best time to be Ed.
Yeah.
So
at the start of the game, Robert and Jon Snow are 1 year old.
Okay.
So the first thing I do is engage Rob to Daenerys.
You know how arranged marriages work in that show, right? They don't.
Well, in this game, they work pretty well. And I send Roose Bolton, my spy master, to Castle Rock to see what Tywin Lannister is up to. Turns out Tywin Lannister is up to murdering Roose Bolton. Unfortunately, I can't prove it. So despite one of the loading tips being don't send assassins over Tywin Lannister, it doesn't work out well. I immediately begin plotting to assassinate Tywin Lannister. Luckily for me, he dies of old age at 54. Jaime died of dysentery somehow. So Tyrion Lannister inherits Castle Rock.
Well, I think that is the best possible outcome. So
that's cool. My long-term plan is to use Daenerys' claim to the Iron Throne when she and Rob have a kid to take the Iron Throne for him. So I'm like, okay, I need to facilitate that. I'll prove that Robert Baratheon's children aren't actually his.
Except Jaime died, so.
Yeah, but they were still not his. Unfortunately, I proved it too early and Robert just immediately remarried and exiled Cersei. So Cersei went and tried to take Castle Rock from Tyrion.
What army?
I don't know. She got one. And they ended up killing each other. So all the Lannisters are dead.
Went to army.
And the world is a better place.
And so I'm like, okay, so now I need to stage my attack. So Rob has, because of Catelyn, has a claim on the Riverlands. So I'm like, I'm going to take the Riverlands for Rob. This ended up being a mistake, though, because a glitch activated. Now Rob's grandson is my heir. Instead of Rob. And Rob is not under my control because he's Lord Paramount of the Riverlands. Which means Daenerys, who doesn't have any dragons, is also not under my control.
That seems unfortunate. You have activated their trap card?
That said, I'm super totes allies with Rob. Like, he loves me because I gave him my ancestral sword and took the Riverlands for him.
Well, and you're his grandson.
Father.
Oh, wait, what?
My heir is his son. I'm still Eddard.
Oh, okay.
I haven't died yet. Gotcha. I did get maimed in a tournament, which sucked, and I lost my honorable trait because of my scheme to assassinate Tywin Lannister. But things are okay. Rob was stupid and rebelled against the Iron Throne, but...
Just like normal.
But the king let him bend the knee, so it was okay. So now we're in the Daenerys for the Iron Throne faction.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where most fans of the show are, too, so...
Well, that's because we're the... I'm okay with Stannis. That would be fine. Stannis should marry Daenerys. That wouldn't cause any problems, right?
So I don't see that ending well. Someone's gonna die by fire, and I'm actually not sure which one, so...
It seems like the fire god would totally be cool with the Targaryens. Their motto is fire and blood.
That's a pretty good motto.
I think that's all I've been playing, though. I feel like there might be something else, but I don't actually think so. My brother bought Titanfall, but I haven't played it.
I consider picking that up. I forgot that it might be on sale. I haven't even looked.
It's not on Steam.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's on Origin.
Was Origin having a summer sale?
No.
Well, goddammit, Origin.
So what have
EA
you been playing,
only does
Tyler?
Their freebies.
Well, right before we recorded the podcast, I finally got around to playing Dive Kick with a human.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I played Dive Kick with Tyler, too. That was pretty fun.
Dive Kick! It's a Dive Kick. That's I don't know how else to describe it.
It's a fighting game with two inputs, dive and kick. And
at the very
kills.
Least, it does one thing very well. Its name serves as its instruction manual.
Well, there's also Go Left, which is a game. You go left. But
Mario?
No, that's Go Right. Also Jump.
Oh, yeah.
Mario could be renamed Go Right and Jump on Things.
It could.
I played a round of Skullgirls. It's interesting. It's got a combo system that I like. I can actually pull off combos because the input's slow enough. As Jeremy mentioned, it is a little slow for a 2D fighter. I think I'm okay with that, but...
Yeah, it's slow and pretty, which is probably a good combination, but I don't know. It seemed fun to watch.
It was actually pretty fun to watch, and I'm not a big fan of fighting games.
See, whenever I play basically any game, I kind of, like... My vision blurs because I'm not actually focusing on any particular element because I'm basically scanning for movement rather than actually looking at things. So.
That's actually how I play shooters. I'm not actually really paying very close attention to what's right in front of me a lot of times.
Yeah, and I think that's my problem with shooters is because I don't do that with shooters.
Might
I
be
do
your
that
problem
with
RTSs because in RTSs, look at the minimap, !! is what's up, and your resources.
But like platformers, I kind of like... don't focus on the screen, so...
I screwed myself over in Dawn of War 2 at one point by not looking at the minimap. I accidentally chased a whole bunch of Tyranid into their main base, and then went, wait a minute, that's what I'm... Oh, I'm in the wrong place right now. Three of my guys got knocked unconscious, and I had to fortify my heavy weapons team with turrets, and hope to God I survived.
Did you?
Yes.
Awesome.
Sorry, I hate to interrupt.
Meh. I've been playing a bit more of the Attack on Titan game. I finally found people who are better than me, and they're all... pretty cool people, so way to go, guys.
So you found... Oh, damn, I can't remember the guy's name now.
Yes!
The scout leader squad.
Oh, Levi?
Yes, you found Levi's squad?
Definitely. I was playing as Petra, who's dead. Spoilers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I completely forgot about this. So I bought Naruto Adjectives, which is actually Naruto Shippuden Ninja Storm Ultimate 3.
Actually, I think it's Ultimate
3.
Ninja Storm 3.
No, I think it's Ninja Storm 3 Ultimate. Because I think the Steam version is called Ultimate.
It's also got full bursts on the end of it.
Oh, that's
so.
Then its Ultimate is in there somewhere before there.
Yes.
We'll go with Naruto Adjectives 3.
So I went and played the campaign mode in that, and I'm kind of sad as the lack of variety of characters to play in that, and the fact that Naruto's always in goddamn I'm Superman mode, but...
You play Sasuke a lot in that, I thought.
Nope, no Sasuke. Not a single time.
What?
That no. Steam version must be different than the console version.
I lied. There's a horde mode that you go through with Sasuke.
Because definitely the beginning of the console version is Sasuke going to the Five Kage Summit and fighting the Raikage.
That's in this. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because the first thing you do is you play a little bit as Naruto, and then you go to be Sasuke, kicking the...
You mostly play as Naruto, though.
Yeah.
And
it's a Naruto game. What did you expect?
Rock Lee, Shikamaru.
Yeah, there was no... I did not play as Rock Lee once.
You play as Shikamaru in there, don't you, during the war? You
yeah.
play as a Laser Circus guy.
That is true. I forgot he had Laser Circus. That's an excellent name. So, that's actually a surprisingly good game,
yeah.
And I actually think the game looks better than the show. I was really impressed with the story mode, honestly. It was good.
I really don't like Shippuden. Like, compared Naruto to Shippuden, Shippuden has worse music, in my opinion. The animation is a lot choppier. And for things that aren't fully in their control, the story pacing is terrible. But anyway.
The game is pretty amazing. That and the actual fighting is fun. So
yeah, it's a fun fighting game.
Even the boss battles they added into the campaign aren't bad. And also, doesn't that one start with you playing as the Hokage? Fighting the Ninetales? So there's a little variety, but not much.
The boss fights are definitely fun. Maybe it's not the last one. There's definitely a difficulty spike at one point, and then it just spikes back down. There's like one really hard fight.
I had a lot of trouble when I played it beating Danzo.
Which one's Danzo?
Danzo's the guy with all the eyes on his arm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I beat his ass in one try. No, the one I actually had...
Is it all the Jinchuriki?
I think it was all the Jinchuriki. One, you're on foot. You're not even in fox form. You're on foot. And goddammit. I don't know. That's a fun game, though. But what I've probably been playing... Well, actually, I think I've only played like 4 hours of it thus far, but I've gone through, I think, 30 generations already between restarting the game once, is Rogue Legacy.
I bought that, but I haven't been too busy playing Game Duck Tycoon twice.
And I actually looked at that game, but... was immediately turned off by an advertisement claiming it is this generation's Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, I saw that and almost
paged out.
I saw that and almost didn't buy it.
It
and
looks like it should be this generation's Castlevania Symphony of the Night, because that's what it really reminds me of just watching you play it.
Well, and all the spells are basically Symphony of the Night weapons, and it's way more Castlevania than it is Ghosts and Goblins.
It actually looks like a lot of fun. What, Alex, say it's on sale right now for like $7.50 or something like that?
Yeah.
I'll wait and see if it goes back on flash sale, but it may be worth $7.50 to me.
But it's basically it's a roguelike game in that there's permadeath, kind of, and the dungeon that you go through is randomly generated every time. I say it's kind of permadeath because you can keep stuff between generations of heroes, and every time you die, you then get to pick an heir to the family name to go and throw themselves on a spike.
But you don't have to have all sorts of machinations and make sure your heir is perfectly groomed, like in Crusader Kings.
No, actually, it sounds like it's the exact opposite from making sure your heir is perfectly groomed.
So I actually got to the point, I restarted it after a while because I realized I had made poor choices in my... You have a skill tree in the form of upgrading a manor, and every time you make a purchase on the skill tree, the cost of everything else on the skill tree goes up, so you actually end up having to need more and more money over time, and if you suck at the game, then you can't ever get the more money that you need.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Did you have to use your 360 controller for that, or
no.
Can you use the keyboard?
You can use the keyboard if you want. It just maps natively to the 360 controller, and I find I like the 360 controller for this game. So.
I may have to go pick up a wired 360 controller, just because I've got so many games on the...
You should check Amazon for one of the adapters, because just an adapter is like $5.
Which might be cheaper than the controller.
Yeah, it's just that in stores, usually the adapters come with a controller, so they're like $40.
In the first run of this game, though, I definitely got past the current date in years that people have been born. So people are starting to be born in 2030, still in full, like, plate mail and
holding their sword out high. Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just remembered Rob's son, who's now my heir, is totally Eddard II.
Don't feel that Rob would have named his son Eddard.
I feel like he probably would have after Eddard died. Not if he was still alive, but since he fought a war based on the fact that his father was killed unjustly.
That is true. You're right. I forgot about that.
I feel like maybe even when his wife was pregnant in the show, they called him Little Eddard.
Really?
Maybe not. Little I remember Ned. They made a big joke of, oh, I'm totally pregnant. Stab, 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 stab.
They definitely did that. Anyway, the cool thing about Rogue Legacy is that every character you play is different in that they have weird little quirks. Some of them don't really affect the game much. One of my favorites is Coprolalia, which basically means you curse every time you get hit. There's color blindness. The game is grayscale while you're playing that character. There's a glaucoma where the edges of the screen are dark. There, you can be farsighted, so things near you are fuzzy. You can have IBS, which causes you to be flatulent every time you dash. you can be a dwarf or giant.
Isn't your current one, got a dwarfism?
She died, remember?
Yeah, she just died.
Oh, right. She was dwarfism and had OCD.
Yeah, she was also OCD, which, every time you break furniture, it gives you more MP to throw daggers at things.
How exactly that relates to OCD, I'm not sure.
I think it's the idea that you have to break everything in the room.
Yeah, and you satisfy your impulse. Yeah, anyway. So there are a lot of different things. You unlock new traits that people can get as you meet achievement bonuses. So the achievements are not only tied to your Steam account, but they actually have in-game effects.
That was kind of interesting.
So one of the ones that I unlocked recently is you're afraid of chickens. If you notice that occasionally when I hit things, a piece of chicken drops out. And that restores your health. Occasionally when you do that, a beheaded chicken falls off, and because you're afraid of chickens, you're like, oh god, a chicken, and it does small amounts of damage.
It could do that?
Yeah,
if you had that?
Yeah, if you're a person who's afraid of chickens, then that could happen, and you actually had to go kill the headless chicken in order to eat it. So, just small things like that. It's a fun game, and it's got pretty decent music. I actually like some of the music that you listen to when you're not playing the game better than the actual in-game music. Although there's a jukebox you can find out occasionally that allows you to choose any of the tracks
for That's cool.
the rest of the level. And it's, I don't know, it's a lot of fun, and it definitely meets my dungeon crawling needs. So
does it have co-op in it?
It does not have co-op, and I honestly don't know how it would work if it did. So
I just remembered, Dawn of War 2 actually has an option for cooperative play for its campaign.
Oh, really? So, like, you could control half of the squad?
I don't know how it works. I just know it has the option.
But yeah, Rogue Legacy. It's a good game for great people.
So you haven't started playing Walking Dead yet?
No, I haven't yet.
Did you buy that for him?
I did.
Yeah, and then both you and Ed said play this game, so...
I believe I worded that a little more strongly in my...
You would probably like it.
I'm sure I will. It's just Alex is terrified of zombies, so I have to play it when she's not there, which is not very often. So
is she really?
Yeah.
Yeah, The Walking Dead is not the game for her. Alternatively, it's the best game for her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why I don't play very many zombie-themed games, even though I like them, is because she can't tolerate the... She has a very... You know how you were talking about how you're an American boy raised in the 90s and have a very... She has a very low violence tolerance, being raised mostly on Disney movies, so...
Yeah. Anyway.
Why can't I not think of that game, now?
Speaking of violence in video games...
This week's assignment, Shock Troopers for the Neo Geo, a console that I had only kind of heard of.
This is my first encounter with it
I've
at all.
I've seen one in a physical place before.
They look like arcades, right?
Yeah, it's basically an arcade cabinet.
Only you have like a little cartridge thing in there that you can switch out.
The one I'm familiar with, you can't see that because it's like in a retail area. So.
Oh, that actually explains the cost on it a little bit more, but that's...
The Neo Geo came out in 1990 for the retail of $649.95. Where cartridges cost $200 and up.
And you can we're serious.
You could get a Super Nintendo for the cost of a Neo Geo game.
You could get
it would come with Super Mario World.
For the cost of a Neo Geo and one game, I think you could actually end up with a Super Nintendo and I think 8 cartridges for the Super Nintendo.
No. Super Nintendo...
It would actually be 13 cartridges for a Super Nintendo.
Okay, console is 600.
Yeah, I was doing 400 for some reason. So yeah... So you can basically get the best of the Super Nintendo library and the Nintendo itself for the cost of the Neo Geo and one of its stellar games.
That said, Shock Troopers does look a lot better than a Super Nintendo game. Shock Troopers came out in 1997,
which
so,
we
so
have
I don't
to
know
admit
it's the best. Like it does also sort of look better than N64 games, but it's not pushing the same
hardware limits.
Yeah.
We all kind of did a double take when Jeremy told us this. It came out in 97.
Really? Are you sure?
So did you happen to write down some of the other games that came out in 97 to compare it to?
GoldenEye, Mario Kart 64.
I thought Mario 64 itself.
No, that Mario 64 came out a year earlier.
Ah, that's right.
Symphony of the Night, which we played on the show.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
It actually looks... I think it looks better than Symphony of the Night, but that's me.
I think I agree. It's higher resolution.
Yeah, it depends on... I don't really like the super anime art style of it, and I really like the way that Symphony of the Night has the character. It's sort of like Hanna-Barbera cartoons, where the stuff that's moving is out in front of the backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I actually really like that look, but you're probably right in that this is objectively a little better than that. It's smoother.
It is a very smooth-looking game.
And it also warns you that it's violent, bro.
Even
I think it's the first time I've ever seen that.
This came out 5 years after Mortal Kombat.
Which actually might be the reason why it has a warning about being violent, because Mortal Kombat, when it released, had a massive...
So did Doom.
...uproar type of thing.
Doom, sort of, but Doom was so popular that it didn't really take off as much. Doom was popular with the, in air quotes, target audience. Mature people actually wanted to play Doom, whereas 9-year-old kids that wanted to see heads get ripped off was the only audience Mortal Kombat had.
Also, Doom wasn't necessarily for violent. Doom was the...
Satanism.
Satanic.
Oh, yeah,
imagery.
I forgot about that. People get bent out of shape about that, don't they?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Satan's bad, bro.
Because you're not actually shooting people for the most part in Doom. You're shooting demons. Yeah. So
and also reanimated people.
Don't
there's
make
a little
deals
bit of a disconnect.
With great Satan.
This one,
what
you're actually
Satan?
Shooting
nope.
people, which it has a very Rambo feel to it.
Yeah. It's
one
very...
One against the world, which is
it's very 80s.
Was...
It's more A-Team than Rambo, I think. Only more violent A-Team. Because you got a team of bros. Some
or at least you're supposed to. This was not what I expected when I called this game. I thought it was going to be more of a, at the very least, a squad thing where you have multiple people on screen at the same time. Nope. If it's just you, it is just you.
Well, you read the Wikipedia article, and I thought it was going to be more like Contra. And
well,
it's not
more top
either
down than Contra.
It is. It's not either of these things. So.
Which brings me to the controls. I thought they were really loose. They were okay with a D-pad, but I found it really hard to swing around and aim and dodge with a control stick.
I found it really hard to aim on the D-pad.
Well, I had a better D-pad than you playing, because you played on a GameCube controller, right?
No, I was actually playing on the Wiimote.
Oh, you can play on the Wiimote?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'd still say I have a better D-pad than you, but not that much better in that case.
I have best D-pad.
Yeah. But this game was designed for a control stick, like one of those stiff arcade control sticks, and I cannot imagine playing this game.
Well, I think part
of that's how they get recorders.
Part of the hard part is they designed it in such a way that your aiming is whichever way you happen to be facing. So I kept ending up where I'm like, I'm going to shoot that guy over there. So I'd, you know, try and aim, and I'd start walking down and get hit by something.
So this is like an isometric shooter. A lot of games in this genre actually do that. You can only shoot the way that you're currently moving.
Feel as though they should work the same way as Geometry Wars does.
Geometry Wars is so good.
After having played Geometry Wars, I feel every game in that style should work like
that. Spoiler for the end of this podcast, play Geometry Wars instead.
It's nothing like this game, but it's everything like this game and better.
So you choose between one of eight anime characters. The only difference is they have different special weapons, but I found all of them to pretty much be the same. They go boomy boom. Yeah. It's just some people have more and other people have others. You have like grenades, exploding boomerangs, exploding blow darts, exploding hairpins, exploding bazookas.
They basically just get grenades. Everybody gets a special grenade of some kind. Who did you guys play as, by the way?
I cycled through. This game also has a sort of interesting thing where you can either pick one character and all of your lives are him, or you can pick three characters, one for each life.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it comes up with, like, single play or team play or something like that.
I thought team play meant, do you have a friend?
No, that's where they press start on the other controller.
Yeah,
this
I found
game
that
does
out
have co-op,
after I
play.
Selected the single play thing.
Yeah, but when you continue, you can change which one it is.
You know, I feel like co-op wouldn't have made this game better, only easier.
Yeah, and spoiler, this game has limited continues. You only get four.
Which
if you have
sucks.
A second controller, though, you get four continues on that, too.
So really? Wait, you can wait until your first one dies and then plug in as the second player?
Yep. That's what I did, and I
excellent.
Did it in one go.
That explains how you did it.
I didn't want to play through this game another time.
I didn't realize that was possible, and I think my second Wiimote's batteries were dead, or else I probably would have tried that.
So the crux of this game is you basically walk around levels and are funneled through the level while shooting guys.
Like Mega Man, you can choose levels sort of. You choose one of three paths at the beginning and in the middle of the game. And they're jungle, mountain, and
valley, I think is what we agreed on.
Yep.
Okay. I only played through jungle, so I don't
Valley's
really
also not much of a valley. It's more like a wharf.
I don't imagine the game changing very much depending on your path.
I feel as though the way this game changes. Is set up, there isn't a lot of difference in where you pick. It's just a cosmetic change.
For a slightly better game in the genre that isn't Geometry Wars, Rocky and Pocky does a lot of similar stuff. And was on the Super Nintendo and was better in basically every way. In fact, I feel like there are lots of games that
Hotline Miami is similar, only it's crazy hard.
I do like crazy hard, but Binding of Isaac. This game is like Binding of Isaac.
But you don't shoot your tears.
No, you don't. Nor do you fight your aborted brother.
No, and there aren't strange religious overtones.
Our guy's arm's falling off, though.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't notice that, but I believe you. You go around, you shoot dudes until you find bosses who are basically just guys in tanks. Sometimes helicopters, they make a tink-tink sound whenever you shoot them and don't glow or anything, so you don't know if you're hurting them.
It's until really they're low on health, then they start flashing.
Yeah, but every single time I found a boss, even though they're all the same, I'm like, am I hurting this guy?
Yeah.
It has really poor feedback.
It has pretty good feedback for when you get hit.
Yeah, I meant specifically the bosses have very
poor
feedback.
That's what I was saying. It's got really good feedback for when you get hit, but when you get to like bosses, you don't know.
Did you get to the bosses that were three ninjas?
I did not.
I got to a boss that was two ninjas.
Okay.
Insane problem. I'm like, shoot. Am I hurting this guy? Am I doing anything?
Is he sweet ninja bulletproof?
Do I need to find how to beat? Is there like a trick here that I need to find to like the one weak point and it instantly dies? Or do I just spam gunfire until hopefully it falls over?
Speaking of ninjas, in Rogue Legacy, one of the character classes you can unlock is a shinobi, who you can upgrade to a Hokage. The Hokage's special ability is log dodge. Anyway.
That's pretty good. So yeah, you pick up power-ups that increase the power of your gun, except flamethrower, which just sucks. There's like an instant zap cannon that kills anything you hit with one hit, but only has like 20 shots. There are faster machine guns.
I liked the Vulcan.
Yeah, there's the Vulcan. None of them really stand out to me, though.
Did you find the rocket launcher?
I don't think so.
There is a rocket launcher. It does splash damage, but it only has like 20 shots.
I honestly sort of sleptwalked through this game. I walked forward. I shot dudes. I died. I kept going forward. I shot more dudes.
I feel we played the X-Men game. I feel kind of had a similar problem.
Yeah, but at least that had an IP I was interested in and bad, but enjoyable voice acting. And comparing the stories, this one has really vague anime cutscenes that you can't skip through the dialogue or you'll skip the entire scene. That's basically just the bad guy kidnapping some scientist's daughter for evil.
And then making the scientist do
something. You never find out what. Spoiler.
Is there a cutscene before the game starts, or is there supposed to be one that we just didn't see?
There might be on the press start screen if you let it slide, but there's not one after you start the game.
Because I thought it was just going to be one of those things where it's like, there's no story. Just go until whatever happens, until you reach the end of the game and call it good. Nope. They're like, here's a story. I'm like,
We wasted too much on these character designs and not have a story.
But your characters aren't even involved in them.
So, anything else to say about this game? Honestly, it was pretty underwhelming to me. It's got a sequel we get to play later.
I wish it had more...
Cowbell?
No, I wish it had more gameplay that revolved around the fact that you have 8 characters.
I also wish that you could have, like, more varied enemies and, like, a dodge roll or something.
There is a dodge roll.
Is there? I never found it. Well then, fine.
There are motorcycle throw grenades too, but not many.
I didn't think this game was horrible, but it wasn't very good.
Yeah, it's very underwhelming.
It was worse than Wild Guns, but I think Wild Guns also benefited from the fact that we played it co-op.
And also it's Weird West and just kind
of
goofy.
Entertaining.
But the thing is, Wild Guns, like when attacks are coming at you, you have multiple choices. You can try to shoot them out of the air, you have an invincibility roll, you have a jump. There's lots of choices in Wild Guns, even if they're small. What are the choices you make in this game?
Walk
try
around
to dodge.
It. Walk
and,
around it. Dodge.
And like I said, the controls are really awkward. Whereas in Wild Guns, they are occasionally awkward. The lasso is weird, and the way you move and aim being the same can create awkward situations. But the jump helps smooth so much over. This game doesn't have the benefit of anything like that.
Oh, I'm not trying to argue this game is great or anything like that, especially if it was a $200 price point. No, it is not worth that.
I could see it being, if you already owned a Neo Geo cabinet and were some sort of, like, proprietor of some sort and wanted to add variety to your arcade money-making machine.
To be fair, we haven't played any other Neo Geo games.
There might be better ones.
Yeah.
Well,
And in that case, this one is even less valuable.
There's pretty much the entire King of Fighters series.
Yeah, and Samurai Showdown, and...
Which is also pretty good.
So this one wasn't bad, but it would definitely, for me at least, probably clock in at around a 4 or a 5.
It's super...
Maybe a 6 if it got lucky.
It's super mediocre, though. I'm probably going to forget it in 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
What did we play this week?
Exactly. I had a hard time even remembering the name of it because the name is so
both
generic.
Of you guys did.
To be fair, I bought it right away and was able to play it, but I couldn't remember when we got here. So yeah, our conclusion is buy some stuff on the Steam sale.
Go buy Geometry Wars.
Yeah, it's all worth more than this game was.
Yeah, and probably cheaper, so...
10 years later, this game went from $200 to $9.
So, just, you know, consider that.
Inflation.
Yeah. Exflation.
That's deflation, but...
I know. What are we going to play next week, Tyler?
Why are you asking me? Jeremy, what are we playing next week?
Well, since we played a game on the Neo Geo, the only console we haven't played for on the Wii Virtual Console is the TurboGrafx-16.
Can we keep it that way?
So we're going to play Bomberman 93.
Oh, okay.
I like Bomberman 64 a lot, and Bomberman on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, I liked Bomberman 64.
I don't know how this one works, but...
Neither do I. It has single player, and the multiplayer you expect, but...
All right,
I expect
then.
Is the actual draw, but it's got a single player of some sort. So next time on Last Time, not the Blue Bomber, Bomberman. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com, or tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And the best one, Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.
Power fist.
Yeah, okay.
A power fist.